This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now for a little Two Guys, One Booth, an audio celebration of the Cowboys' recent game. Here they are to walk us through it, Wolchuk and Chiafala.
Heck yes, of course we love to do this after every Cowboys game day. So much sweeter, Eric, isn't it? After a Dallas Cowboys victory.
Oh, nothing better, dude. Are you kidding me? And they were in their bag last night. Brad, Babe, Christy as well. Mm-hmm. Two guys, one booth, but we do not forget about Christy Scales up in here. Last week we learned she is our inches expert.
Yes.
On the Cowboys flagship, and she makes a great appearance this week as well.
Got a claw with your fingernails for that inch.
All the inches, Wolchuk.
So without further ado, it's time for Two Guys, One Booth. We begin with Babe Laufenberg. So you go up there to New York City, the bright lights of the Big Apple, and much like Bobby Belt yesterday was talking with Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy, and they were like, Bobby, you got to go try a slice of pie, and Bobby's trolling them like, no, I'm going to go to McDonald's. And what did he do? Tweets a picture of him going to a McDonald's, although he just drew them off sides. He didn't actually go to the McDonald's. He went with the Tolo to go and get a nice slice of pie. But Babe is giving some restaurant recommendations. So, Babe, when we're up there at the Big Apple, where should we go?
Babe Laufenberg told me today there are many very pleasant places in the Garden State.
As a matter of fact, one of them being Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Very pleasant place.
Visit the Shrimp Box if you're ever there. Yeah, you think I'm kidding?
I don't. What do you order?
Shrimp. It's a shrimp box.
The shrimp box.
Get the shrimp box when you're there.
Usually a good call.
What do you order? The shrimp.
Yeah, if they have it in the title of the restaurant, that's what you get. Like the Waffle House. Obviously, you're going to get waffles when you go to the Waffle House.
I think IHOP?
Same thing with the shrimp box. Yeah, with the IHOP, of course, we're getting the pancakes.
Original House of Pancakes.
We're doing it.
I'm getting the pancakes.
All right, here's Sham. He's not really sure that the ref who made the call was in a position to actually make the call.
Illegal block in the back. Offense number 13. 10-yard penalty. Play first down.
Okay, I'm not saying David Sills didn't do that. That guy was barely in Bergen County. I mean, how did he see that from over there on the right sideline?
Do you know how far we are away, Brad?
Oh,
especially when we do a game at AT&T Stadium?
I do.
Okay.
But his perspective is different. He's down on the line, down on the ground.
I do.
Man, from AT&T Stadium, they probably feel like they're miles away from the field.
It is a corner. It's a weird view over there. I mean, I remember even calling high school games, and we're a couple booths away from the Brad Sham radio booth.
I'm not going to lie to you.
It's an interesting angle.
When I do the color there in the preseason, it's all from the monitor.
Sure. It's hard not to look at the jumbo.
No, the not screen. The jumbo.
The screen, one right
the one that's right in front of you.
Right in front of me. The TV right in front of me, I get more from that than I do from actually, you're so far away from the field. And if you ever stood behind Babe as he's doing the game, he has binoculars and then your spotter has binoculars. But man, I do everything from that TV monitor.
You're not using binocs. Krusty's not binocular guy.
No, I'm not. I don't.
And is it because of the glasses?
I just always hate having to pull them up and down to put the binoculars up. So
yeah.
But the TV monitors in the stadium are excellent when it comes to calling a game. My opinion, they are.
And by the way, thank you to Larry Flores for pulling all of these.
Salute to Larry.
Yeah. He did an excellent job.
He was a beast this week.
No,
this is a good batch of stuff.
He was fantastic.
I feel like the officiating was just horrible last night.
It was so
all the way across the board.
I mean, how many times, like the Cowboys are getting called for holding left and right, some good, some bad, whatever. But then the Cowboys, I feel like, are getting held
constantly.
Very blatantly, and they're just refusing to call it. It's okay. I'm cool if you don't call it.
Sure.
Let's just keep this both ways, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I, you know what? I kind of felt like it went both ways. That offensive pass interference call on Shepard was not
sure.
good.
That oh, was, yeah, that was bad.
No.
That was
bad. And the Noah and Brown one?
Come on, guys. Yeah, you caught. Yeah, they held Noah Brown right. quite a bit. But, yeah, they missed some calls for the Giants, too, I felt like. That crew right there will screw it up for both teams.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was just not a very well-officiated game. Let's sprinkle in a highlight here. One of the favorite plays of the night. Big Jason Peters checks into the game. What happens? Tony Pollard. Oh, go break a big one.
And on this first down, there's a handoff to Pollard around the left side to the 50. He's got a first down and another 14 yards all the way down to the Giants' 46-yard line.
I don't know how you have the patience to not leave him in the whole game after that.
I know.
If I'm on that offensive staff.
He told Nick he could have played the whole game.
Yeah.
He told Nick he could have played.
If a coach tries to tell me we got a pitch counter, we got to be smart about this, like hell. Okay, he's been playing pro football for 17 years. He's fine. He is mauling. And this game's on the line right now. We're going to be 2-1 or 1-2 when this decision is made. The game is very much in doubt.
No, it's a great point. That is a great point. And I just love that it was like, okay, we got Peters in, and we're going to run right behind him on the very first
Immediately,
play.
Yeah.
And we're just going to get the biggest run play of the night for us. It was just absolutely gorgeous. All right, Brad and Babe, here they go. Parsons is getting all up in the kitchen of Daniel Jones, and they had a little fun with it.
Four-man rush. Jones hit in the face as he throws it incomplete over the middle. Oh, man, was that Parsons?
Parsons.
Wow. Micah Parsons shook off all of the congestion and blew it right into Daniel Jones' personal space.
That was rude. That was rude of Micah Parsons right there. That was a big shot that Daniel Jones took.
And we see it again. He knocked the right guard, Mark Glowinski, flat on his Glowinski.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
That ended up with Daniel Jones. I don't know if he has a Glowinski, but
he does. Yeah. It was rude.
He's got whatever virus Micah has now, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%.
That was your COVID moment of the game.
My guy Lewinsky?
Yeah, yeah. Broadus was calling him Lewinsky.
I called him Lewinsky. I said Glowinski the second time. I didn't say it right the first time.
All right, like some people eat their H's when they say words. Maybe Broadus just eats his G's.
Eric's looking over at me yesterday,
they were
Lewinsky?
Like laughing at me, and I'm like, why don't you correct me, you idiots?
Well, because Broadus
I didn't correct you.
You didn't correct me.
I said it's Glowinski, and that guy is ass, my dude. And then you kept on saying it. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm just going to let this go.
I looked at Walchuk, so I was like, wait, they have a Lewinsky on
there? It's not Monica's son.
And Broadus just keeps going, Lewinsky sucks.
I told you his ass on Tuesday or Wednesday. I told you his ass.
He is ass, though. Yeah. And he got Lewinsky'd. He really did. All right, let's go to this is fantastic. Christy Scales. Maybe steals the highlights here for two guys, one booth. We need a fire extinguisher. Christy, can you please tell us
what?
Why? Christy?
The Cowboys will have their worst starting field position at the 23. Christy, what did Jason Peters have to say to the nose man, Dexter Lawrence?
Well, it was very amiable, but Dexter Lawrence is listed at 348. I think he's much bigger than that. Peters only 324. He's way more than that. It was amiable there, but once they go head-to-head block, we may need a fire extinguisher down here because all that fat rubbing together, we may have
fire?
A grease fire, to borrow a Nate Newton term.
Well done, Christy. Oh, man. Christy's such a legend. It's great because Walchuk, you're cool with that one. I mean, we could consider that fat shaming a little bit.
Christy's you're my okay favorite. With it. She can say whatever the hell she wants. And the vocabulary. I don't even know what amicably.
No, I think she said amiable.
Amiable. It still goes over my head, but I thought it was used to perfection.
That's when you're still nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good.
Amiable,
it was well done.
Still nice.
That is good. Yeah.
And we're talking about big uglies, the offensive linemen. We know what the deal is.
Yeah, it's actually a compliment for those guys. I think they appreciate it.
These guys are trying to stay heavy.
And Christy can get away with that. It's just like Lawrence Taylor, as Bob Papa was telling me and Broadus last night on the pregame. Like, it's a no smoking stadium, obviously, at MetLife Stadium. But Lawrence Taylor, you can see him puffing on a cigar on the sidelines at a random Giants game. And he gets to do that because it's Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor, by the way, after the game last night, they're asking him about Micah Parsons.
He's
unimpressed. Yeah, he's pretty good, but we'll see if he can keep it up for 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever.
That's what he has to do. He can't criticize anything about his game right now. He's just like, well, can he do it for more than a decade? And then if he can, then I'm going to have to kind of be like, okay, yeah, this dude's pretty incredible.
Speaking of heavy set, guys, the text wants to know if it's possible Glowinski is Bill Clinton's son.
I
don't think those got deposited in the same.
Yeah, I don't think he knows how anatomy works.
Jerry Springer up here. You are not the father.
All right. Oh, he had a blocked field goal. That was hot.
Field goal from the left hash at the 37, so 47. Neither Gano nor Brett Maher of the Cowboys has missed a kick this year.
Jinx.
Got him.
47, high snap, and the kick's blocked. And it's rolling around down around the one-yard line and spins into the end zone. The field goal blocked. Special teams. Special teams. And Dorrance Armstrong, who blocked one last year, got this block as well.
Yeah, that was, I tell you what, that was a great job, because what they did was they overloaded that side, that would be the defense's left side, offense's right side, and they slammed. I mean, Neal didn't even move. They ran three guys at him, two got home, and it just happened that Dorrance Armstrong got home the cleanest. And so, yeah, great job of scouting that and understanding that maybe Neal, the big tackle, was not going to move his feet on that particular play.
The second time Babe's put in the call for a special teams play. Put in the call for the Turpin return in the preseason.
Sure did.
And then he's got the call for the blocked field goal, first blocked field goal the Cowboys have had in 5 years. Tyron Crawford with the last one. I believe it was a Thanksgiving Day. We talked about this last night, Brian, against Washington back in 2017.
You know, I saw Dan Rogers blogging the boys. He tweeted that over the last six games, it's actually Dorrance Armstrong with the most sacks for the Cowboys. Micah, Tank, Dorrance have all played, and Tank and Micah have five, but Dorrance has 5.5.
Wow.
Going back to last year.
He's up to 3 now on the year.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Kind of felt like, you know, we were talking to him, and I mean, I just felt like that he, with this defensive line coach, I think that he's benefited from that. Really do.
He's your pet cat.
He is my guy.
He is. Meow. All right, let's go to this breakdown or a play prediction here from Brad. And, well, Brad, what would you like the Cowboys to do?
Cowboys now second and 20. Now, if you want to get 10 of these back here and then give yourself something manageable.
I would throw it deep to Gallup. Okay. Oh, wait, he's not playing. Oh. Rushing an empty gun.
He's got jokes. Brad's got jokes. We all wanted to see Michael Gallup last night.
I would throw it deep to Gallup. Oh, wait.
I would too, Brad. I really know. Seriously, I think that's going to be a good play here coming up soon.
What is this? Choose your own adventure now if you're hurt. Just let us know when you feel like it. That's what Jerry said this morning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of a, you know, that one, the one that I didn't really understand was the tight end, you know, Schultz. That one.
Business
was,
decision?
You know, that's one of those things where you're kind of in a situation where you're on a franchise tag and, you know.
You can't count on him. I think I bench him after that. That's what I teased that in the first hour, but I didn't get to it before the G-bag of the day. I'd bench Schultz. Be like, have
fun. Just to prove a point?
Yeah, no, you're making business decisions, so are we.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be in high demand in free agency. Oh, you're sorry. You would like to play hurt now because this is football. Okay, maybe we'll find some snaps for you here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Definitely, it backfired on Schultz last night. He was probably hoping that those guys were going to go in there and trip over themselves, and Hendershot was going to look like a schmuck, and next thing you know, we're all going, if we never see Dalton Schultz play another snap, I don't know if anybody's really going to be crying
Wally
about
pipped,
it.
Wally pipped, man.
That's right.
Sorry, bud.
All right, here's Brad breaking down a standoff.
And so Brian Anger is going to punt, we think.
I thought we'd get Maher from 58.
No, we're not gonna. Okay. We're gonna get Brian Anger
see
for
if they got
a punt.
Something up their sleeve, Brad. See
it feels that way, doesn't it? They're pointing. A lot of gesticulating. Cowboys are pointing. Giants are pointing. Pointers are pointing. 5 on the play clock. Maybe someone's trying to get somebody to move. They're not going to snap this ball.
I think Reginald Atitula has just made everybody up their dictionary and vocab.
Yes.
I mean, what was that word he just said?
I don't even know.
Did you hear that word?
Gesticulating?
Gesticulating.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
You got
mean?
Any Webster's
like
up in here?
Using your hands and like just a lot of expressions, yeah. I believe.
I'm going to need an encyclopedia.
Well, yeah. You called the cords at Oxnard umbilical cords.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
No, I,
you make fun words. You're good at talking. You just don't know what all the words mean.
I got Wolchuk-isms. Okay. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You gesticulate all the time with those sausage
fingers.
I'm
gesticulating with my andouilles.
Yeah.
As we speak. We had not one, not two, but three tank sacks.
Had some penalties. Now here's play action, and Jones back to the sack, back at the 20. That is DeMarcus Lawrence for the hat trick.
Man, boom. What a beast he was last night.
Our DeMarcus Lawrence.
That's right. That's right. Friend of the G-Bag Nation.
Yes.
Every Thursday about 5 o'clock. What a beautiful time it is. All right, here's Brad Sham. Looks like Brian Daboll was not happy about a particular call last night. He was red-faced. He was grumpy. bad words were said, and here is Sham giving you the picture.
I think Brian Daboll is calling for an ex is calling for an excommunication.
The game was stopped to adjust the first down markers. It is still third down.
Thanks, Land.
I think Brian Daboll wants to adjust Land Clark's head right now. Yeah. Christy?
Christy, can you confirm?
Is there a head adjustment happening?
Dude, the head adjustments that were going down is Donovan Wilson. Yeah. Like, making it his number one goal to remove the head of every single quarterback that he faces on a week-to-week basis.
Donovan Wilson chooses violence.
He's looking to kill you. He's like, damn the flags, don't really care. I'll miss a couple of tackles, but I'm going to crush everyone that I actually get a clean hit on.
He is a heat-seeking missile. He is fun to watch play football. Probably the play of the game. In fact, it was our play of the game. Fourth and four, Cooper Rush. The balls again on him, on McCarthy, on Kellen Moore.
Oh, ball admiration.
We're going for it, baby. What happens?
Fourth and four, Rush in the gun. Slot left, one man split wide right. Snap is back, blitz off the edge. He throws it left. It's caught by Lamb on the stick mark. That might be a first down.
I think
where they have
it.
Spotted it.
Yep.
They're moving the chains at the 37-yard line of New York.
Wow.
God, CeeDee Lamb was so awesome after that drop. The one on the sideline where he almost scored, where he just lines the guy up and batters his like he's a ram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that was impressive. I think you got a perfect look at CeeDee Lamb not engaged yet, and then how he can transform like the Incredible Hulk if you just get him in the rhythm of the game and he works up a lather from beginning to end. You got dropping CeeDee Lamb, fail, and then superstar CeeDee Lamb, same game.
It was pretty dang impressive, man, because you could crumble in that moment. Like, mentally, Monday Night Football, you've been hearing it a lot. If you're CeeDee Lamb, you're not number one, oh my gosh. And then he comes up clutch in just huge, huge ways.
All right, I wanted to smack that smile off his face, to be honest with you.
After the drop.
He comes back, like, smiling. And if I'm a teammate, I'm just like, what are you smiling for, bro?
Yeah.
You know? You can be furious. You can be sad. Ugh. Knock the smile off right now. That can't happen again for the rest of your career.
Do you kind of contribute that to, like, it's one of those things. Have you ever had one of those bad days where everything's going wrong and you're like, you kind of laugh because I can't do it. I can't believe all the things.
No, it's fine. That's a me problem, you know, that it would prompt me to be so frustrated. But that's how irate I would be.
No, see, that's the thing. I've had days where I just laugh. I just laugh at myself. I'm like, and I smile, and I'm like, man.
You marvel at your own
incompetence. Like, like things. I can't believe I just had this day, and you start to laugh about it. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not putting myself in his mind, but I know myself. I've had those days where things have happened. I've just smiled because how bad everything was.
There was a little maniacal laugh that brought us busted out when he had his truck stolen a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, I know he's probably crying to sort of like, or he's laughing to keep from crying.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
You laugh in sports when you get screwed or your truck is like, you laugh when the ref calls a bad third strike that was at your ankles. That's what you laugh about. You don't laugh at your own mess ups.
Well, the thing that, like I say, you just, like the way people react, I just kind of, I'm not, like, to
he
me.
He was in mourning.
Yeah, it's like, I go, what else can I do wrong? You know, just kind of that. Like, you're right. I mean, when I truck got, so I walked out there, I just started laughing.
Mm-hmm,
I'm like, what else could go wrong today? You know, I'm not happy that my truck got stolen. You know, I'm kind of like, it's par for the course for
the
me today.
What can you do, man?
Yeah, par for the course. Yeah.
All right, we close it down here. Two guys, one booth. Here it is, Babe, Brad, and I guess they're just trying to use some level of professionalism in this moment.
You know, sometimes they're bang bang plays, but this one, no need for it.
No, he's across the border.
Yeah, just pull up.
Yeah.
Now they're going to
talk
about
it. Now that's a border problem.
Oh, don't get me. Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
A good joke, but nope.
Sorry.
Don't do it.
Playing with fire there, boys.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
And there it is. Two guys, one booth. Best sounds of the broadcast.
Love it every day after the Cowboys play right here about 3 o'clock in the G-Bag Nation. Now, coming up at 6 o'clock, of course, we have TD Tuesday for you. So come back around for that. Relive the highlights across the league. Wooly Bully is top 10 is coming up next. Zach, where are we headed with that, sir?
10 thoughts from the Cowboys. Big Monday night victory. We'll do that next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here we go, Nation. It is time now for Zach Wolchuk's Top 10. Coming up at 4:20, we are 1 hour away from Marcus Semien, the Rangers superstar, joining us here on the Fan.
Segment's
brought to you by the Frankels. You think there'll be less big company trucks on the road because of gas prices? Think again. And those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them, so get the representation that won't settle for less. It's the Frankels at truckwreck.com. Now, here he is, the Woolly Bully himself.
Yeah, baby. We've got 10 Cowboys thoughts from the victory last night over the G-Men. Blogging the Boys puts this out after every Cowboys game. They're going to skim through some of these, and we'll just kick them around. It's also National Corned Beef Hash Day.
Fan.
Not going to do anything.
Fan.
Based off of it, but.
Fan.
No, you don't like the eggs on burgers. We talked about
that.
Put
scrambled egg on that thing. You're just fine.
But you're in on the corned beef hash.
Yes.
All right.
What makes it hash?
It's like the meat and the potatoes together.
Okay.
And so it's like
a hash brown.
It's chopped. It's chopped up.
I'm in.
Like corned beef, like the brisket with like little bitty bits of potato in it and stuff
like
that. Put a scrambled egg on top. You'd like the fried egg. So yeah. But yeah, corned beef hash is tremendous.
Pretty good stuff.
But it's a ground up brisket is what it is.
Breakfast sando? Or is it kind of lunch, it's kinda dinner,
like,
whatever?
It's kind of like you just put it in a bowl.
Yeah, it's not a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich. It's like grind it up. It's a hash.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Sounds incredible.
And it is really, really filling. It's a really good winter time. Hey, we're going hunting kind of a thing. Hey, we're going fishing.
It's good stuff.
It's after you like, have
put
a full
pan in the fire.
Boom. Yeah. You got it. There you go.
Love it.
Good stick to your ribs.
Or flat top.
Hits you going. Okay.
Flat top stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fancy camping site.
The Blackstone. Yeah. You have one of those. Be good for
you. I tell you what, roughing it to me is staying at a Holiday Inn. I ain't staying in a damn tent.
We got an RV by the river. We're camping.
Roughing it, staying at a Holiday Inn. You know, I'll tell you what, I like that Holiday Inn. We stayed out there at Oxnard. I thought that was pretty sweet.
They were nice to us.
I liked it. Yeah. Walked across the street. We had that poke spot. I can't wait to go back. I'm not lying.
A lot of good stuff within striking distance.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Walked down there. We had that nice walk set up.
Real quick, we had a conversation last night about you, Dawson, of how amazed you were at the Popeye shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I brought that
up. That was money.
We were talking about it like, hey, you ever think about something, you know, and like Dawson and those popcorn shrimp.
I've never seen somebody love fast food fried
Dawson
shrimp more than
there,
Gavin.
He sat there and like, man, this is the most amazing meal I've ever had.
The fry, the batter they have on the shrimp.
I'm a big fan of the tackle box at Popeyes. That's my go-to item. And at the Popeyes in Oxnard,
they made it
lickety split. Yeah. It was in 3 minutes, and it was like perfectly done.
It was caught that day.
That shrimp was taken right out of the water like an hour before it got into your mouth.
I've never been to a Popeyes that didn't have a menu board. That was kind of weird.
That was
kind of weird.
It might have just been making an adjustment.
And then Gavin
know.
Walked in like, "What do you need a menu board for? I get the taco box thing. It's something right there." You know,
Gavin knew.
Gavin
knew. Door dashing that the entire week.
That needs to be the training Popeyes for the entire nation.
I love it.
It was like the breading was perfectly fresh. Nothing said stale or bad or overdone fast food. Yeah. It was money.
You were marveling at that thing.
It looked delicious. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. Shout out to Jordan, by the way, Tolo Jordan, who's in here, brought some coldies. Yeah. And, of course, the top 10 at 320. Usually
Eric, what kind
he
bring?
He brought some Miller Lite, as a matter of fact.
Go,
that's the coldie he brought because he's a true Cowboy fan. He's a true red-blooded American.
Hell, yeah. Top 10's always better when you're popping coldies here. Let's get into it. Number 10, the Jason Peters debut and how glorious it was. Oh, man, watching him out there just towering above everybody and then the initial block that he had. I just want to see him and Mr. Tyler Smith manning that left side for the rest of the
healthy,
season.
Stay healthy, my friend. Stay healthy.
Yeah.
Peters is going to the right, and Tyron Smith's going to go in at left tackle.
Smith you really want him over there on the
or
right?
Or are we sending Tyron over to right tackle?
I'll tell you what.
They're going to have an amazing run game, guys.
Yeah, it's
this
gonna
is
great.
Going to be unbelievable.
You might be onto something. McGovern didn't look that
McGovern
bad.
Plays center.
just tweak the whole
like,
thing.
Screw this, you know.
Yeah, well, like a 4-game winning streak. I just move them all around.
I'm high on Biotish right now. I think he's playing pretty well.
Okay, well, I'll take your high on Biotish, and I'll counter you with I'm high on Terrence Steele.
You know what?
He's played better the last 2 weeks.
Thought he played good in week one despite the penalties.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, your eyes are failing.
He did.
He's made
and
me
run
look,
blocking.
Made
not
me look
in
bad
pass
the
blocking.
Last 2 weeks. Played well. Sure did.
He has the last two
sure
weeks.
Sure has.
Yeah, stress that, Brian. Number 9.
I just did.
No, yeah, exactly.
No, he was bouncing that into me. Yeah, that's what he was doing. He was being a bleep hole to me, not to you, Broadus.
I was looking right at Aaron.
He was definitely being a bleep hole, but it was not to you, Broadus.
Looking right at Aaron.
He's got way too much respect for you.
Yeah, I love you. Ah.
And then there's me.
And then there's Eric.
Monday Cowboy, man. I mean, for Walchuk, it's he's just giddy.
The game day thong on, baby.
Hey, yeah, can I make a real quick comment about Walchuk? He is fun to watch a Cowboy game with, by the way.
Oh, because he's so up and down, he's emotional.
He will stand up and yell.
He's screaming at the screen.
Yeah.
Was he yelling in the press box like an Eagle?
No, we're here. We're here. We were in here, and he stood up, and he was yelling at the TV. And then, in turn, I started yelling at the TV.
Yeah.
So we were both yelling at the TV.
He brings the worst at him.
I was very nervous that Brian was going to say, I don't think this is going to work.
This is not for me.
He's like in coaching position. Like, he's standing up with, like, hands on knees, like, come on, let's get this done. Let's go. You know, that guy. And I'm sitting over on the couch going, oh, okay, this is kind of different from Ari.
The weirdest.
He's like, Ari's eating like Sandler the whole time. He's eating snacks the whole time.
Yeah, Walchuk's too into it. Walchuk's doing the Russell Wilson runner pass thing. He's trying to get Broadus involved. Runner pass, let him know. Nine six, let him know. Runner pass.
Help him, Brian. They need help. They need us. Run pass.
No, seriously, though, Broadus, how many times did he mother bleep Joe Buck last night? I mean, minimum five, right? It's usually once per quarter, and then if you're lucky, you get like a couple of the overs.
I am very interested to see the next game that we have to watch. The Philadelphia game here when we have to watch in studio will be. That could be.
I'm worried about how Walchuk's going to be in the press box with us when we're at the home games.
You know me well.
And we're
you
trying
and me
to be
both.
Professionals around all of the NFL media, and you got Walchuk over there with his face painted blue, and hopefully he's not looking as sad as the Giants fan did on television last night.
It's funny because Tim Collins is like, you're not going to go full Mike Bassett on me. And I said, I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try and be a professional. And I think I did okay. Like, our post game was solid. Now, the first L we take,
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see how that one goes.
I was with you yelling at a couple of things.
It's all right. Yeah. Number nine, kudos to Kellen Moore. I think last night he called a good game, fellas. What do you think?
I think the story of the game is something that Broadus was alluding to earlier in Krusty's Corner, just the idea of the keeping the defense off balance you think I'm going to run here, but watch, I'm actually doing something completely different. And it wasn't only the timing of it where you think, okay, obviously it's first and 10, they're going to do the simple thing of handing it off, but they got 8 play action plays on first down, and it's 7 for 8 and a bunch of yards and all those different things. But it's also the presentation of it. Not only is it first and 10 and you think I'm going to run, but I'm also going to sell the run in a way that has me having 2 tight ends on the field. I got only 2 routes being run, but I'm going to execute this to perfection, and the defense thinks I'm running the ball. Yeah. To me, that was monstrous, you got to get that same Kellen Moore when Dak comes back.
It's an optimized line strategy for the modern game is what it is. And the only thing left to deduce is what Brian alluded to in the opening segment, is they don't think that Dak needs that or is capable of running that kind of offense. It's one of those two things. And if it's the latter, then you got to do what it takes to fix it, because you're leaving on the table a bunch of modern principles that the Rams and the Niners are using to have tremendous success.
Yeah, but you saw those principles being used last night, and I think just in my own theory is they've played with Dak, especially since giving him the money, like he's a Pat Mahomes. They play with him like he's a Josh Allen, where, hey, this is a guy that we can just spread it out, let him throw the ball, and we don't have to get super, creative with some of the things that we do here. We don't have to get too, we don't have to try to win with the coaching, because we think we have one of these alien quarterbacks, and we don't. So let's help him the same way we help Rush.
Yeah.
Okay, Walchuk, I'm going to call an audible here late in your list because I believe you're doing the next segment as well in the form of Week 3 NFL overreactions or not. So you could like finish this up, then get into overreactions or not as we continue here on a victorious Cowboys Tuesday in the G-Bag Nation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Woolchuck's got some top 10 to finish up, maybe some week 3 overreactions and more coming up at 4 o'clock. The most exciting thing about what's coming together for this Cowboys offense. But here he is, Woolchuck.
Yeah, let's finish off this top 10, then get back into judging some NFL Week 3 overreactions. Or are they not overreactions? Do we agree with some of these? Number 10 on this top 10 Cowboys fart. Thoughts. It's not a fart. The Peters debut. Number 9 was kudos to Kellen. Number 8, how about the pop to the running game with Tony Pollard? And I thought it was a good blend between Pollard and Zeke, but Tony Pollard certainly was fantastic. He was averaging 8 yards a carry. Zeke was close to 6 yards a carry. But that balance between the run game there was really, really good between both of them. The offensive line certainly deserves a lot of credit there, but Tony Pollard stood out in a big, big way, over 100 yards on the ground.
Yeah, they got the yards over expected per carry, and when you compare the two between Zeke and Pollard, there really is no comparison. Elliott is slightly below where they have him, like his yards over expected are slightly below what he should actually be getting. And Tony Pollard's is like a little over 2 yards higher than what he was expected to get on a per carry basis. So you can see the difference. I do like the idea that having both, it's not to say that Ezekiel, it's been bad. Like this is not the worst version of Zeke that we've ever seen. It's a nice 1-2 punch,
sure.
But it seems like even they are getting to the point now, like when they're trying to ice the game last night and they go to Pollard over Zeke, it's like, okay, something's clearly clicked here where they're like, we understand, like, one guy's better than the other, and they both benefit from each other. But, yeah, Pollard's such a stud.
This team took advantage of Leonard Williams not being in that lineup for the Giants.
For sure.
Anytime that anybody, and that's the great thing about what you're starting to see with the Cowboys, especially on defense. If they're bad at a spot, they will attack that guy.
And how annoying was that? For years, the Cowboys wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do that.
They're depleted in the secondary.
Yeah,
they're not attacking.
They won't do it, but this staff, I think, has figured out. Leonard Williams being out of that lineup really hurt them in the run game last night.
Number 7, the 2 no calls. Did you want to call defensive holding on the Giants for what they did to Noah Brown in the end zone? Did you want to call pass interference? You could have called whatever the hell you wanted, all right? When you tackle a guy in the end zone, call something, but they didn't. That was a little bit annoying. Number 6, the self-inflicted wounds. If there's a negative, it's the fact that you still have 23 penalties that have been called on the Cowboys this year. That's 4th most in the NFL. They had another 8 last night. If something went awry and they didn't have 17 unanswered in the second half, didn't win the game, I think that would have been number 1 that we point to. Still, the penalties were a little bit of an issue, and there were still some bonehead penalties as well last night from the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the penalties are exacerbated further by teams going forward on 4th down. It's just another moment where you can break down defensively and do something wrong that allows them to extend the drive. And this is 2 games in a row now where you've pretty much suffocated them, but a penalty got the best of you in a key moment that allowed them to drive the field.
Number 5 at the Dorrance Armstrong block was fantastic. I mean,
yeah, they overloaded that side. They knew that Evan Neal was not going to move his feet or try and go bounce outside. They ran 3 guys to that gap, and it happened to be that Armstrong got home first to make the block.
Yeah.
Good job by him.
He had a strong game. Another sack for him. He's up to 3 on the year. Him and Tank have 3 sacks. They're right behind Micah with 4. He's had a strong year. Overall, number 4 would just be the pressure forced by that front 7. 24 pressures on Daniel Jones Monday night. Most on a quarterback this season. 2nd most over the past 2 seasons by a defense against any opponent. That Cowboy, and it was not Micah's best night. You could tell he wasn't quite himself.
Yeah.
Certainly was still, you know, dealing with that illness. But Tank stepped up. Armstrong stepped up. You mentioned the Donovan Wilson blitzing.
Yeah.
Anthony Barr, right? I mean, it was a multitude of different players. Micah still, when you needed him on some 3rd downs, he got home. But the pressure last night from the Cowboys was outstanding.
I didn't know if they'd be able to have that again like they did last year late in the season when they had all 3 guys going, but it's clear they have.
Yep.
You know, Fowler, Armstrong, they've replaced Randy by committee and maybe even improved upon it.
And they lead the league in sacks now with 13.
Let's go. And 4, you know, when on 3rd down, 4th down, when it's obvious passing downs and they rush 4 and it's Tank and it's Dorrance and it's Micah and Fowler, I mean, good luck. And if they want to blitz and they want to send an LVE or an Anthony Barr or somebody to add to it, you're not going to be picking that up. I mean, the opposition, good luck to you. Number three, the fourth and four, you go for it. And Brian, you and I were both thinking, should you kick the field goal here? I don't know. We were feeling good about the way the defense was playing, but no, you put your faith again in Cooper Rush, and he delivers with a money play. And I think it was very interesting, the post-game comments from Coach McCarthy, the decision after the timeout. They changed the play.
Yeah.
They went with something that Cooper Rush was more comfortable with, and CeeDee Lamb and him connect for a big fourth and four conversion.
Yeah, great job of getting the ball out. And you mentioned that coach changing the play after the timeout. You know, that's the things you want to ask for Mike McCarthy. Go down there and tell Kellen Moore, hey, this is what we're going to do. Be ready. You have a play ready that we're going to go for it on fourth down here. So good job by the communication. Great job of the execution.
Number two, a tale of two lambs. I think everybody's saying get the 88 off of CeeDee Lamb after the first half.
They were mean to him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were upset. I mean, the drop, I think it upset everybody.
Well, I'll tell you why, is because so many of us came to his defense strongly after week one. He was getting crushed. And so it made us feel like idiots when he dropped that ball.
Yep.
Like, what was I thinking? I can't go on and defend him anymore. That's what I was thinking around, 7:45 last night.
But second half, specifically that touchdown drive, huge for CeeDee Lamb. Finishes with 8 catches, 87 yards, the one-handed touchdown.
That's CeeDee Lamb.
He was beautiful. But number one, in Cooper Rush, we trust. Again, 3-0 now as a starter. Another comeback game-winning drive. And Cooper Rush, I don't think you can really ask for any more than what he's delivered through 3 starts and now back-to-back starts as a backup quarterback in place of Dak Prescott. And he's making the Cowboys feel very at ease. Dak, take your time. Get healthy. When you're ready, go ahead.
Every victory he gets buys Dak another game
100%.
Off.
I expected to hear that from Jerry, but still this morning he's like a week or two. Is that real?
I think so.
Is that real?
Okay. Well, so yeah. Jane reported, she talked to Dak in the locker room yesterday, and Dak said, he'd actually like to try and maybe give it a go. Maybe he's feeling the pressure a little bit. He'd like to maybe give it a go next week, but that's not likely. But he did say he feels like it's likely to maybe go against the Rams in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we were talking to Brad Sham in the post game last night, and he said he went by Dak's locker and, fist bumped, and Dak stuck out his hand, his right hand, to shake hands. And Brad's like, what are you doing? He goes, no, don't you want to see what my grip strength is now? I mean, he was like, Dak was trying to prove a point there. Like, hey, this is how where I'm at right now. So, yeah, I think Dak really, really wants to get back into this thing. Mm-hmm. He sees what's happening right now.
Well, they're definitely buying in on him. Zeke tweeted out like a half hour ago, Cooper Clutch. It's just unprovoked. He just tweeted out Cooper Clutch. And rightfully so, because Sean tweeted out last night, first quarterback since 1970 to lead 3 fourth quarter or overtime game-winning drives in his first 3 career starts. So, yeah, the it's either Cooper Clutch or whatever you want to say. That's 100% the case. And now he joins Tua and Jalen Hurts as the only 2 undefeated quarterbacks this year.
This would be like what, Romo-esque, to be in the NFL for 3 years and not show anything. This would be the biggest surprise ever.
He's been in the NFL even longer than that. Cooper Rush has been in the NFL.
He's a vested veteran, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's been, this is like at least his 5th year.
Yeah. I think, to me, this.
28 years old.
Yeah. Is it like Kurt Warner-like, where you're not doing anything and then all of a sudden you get an opportunity to play?
Well, I mean, Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer.
I'm just saying about the path.
Oh, the way it started, yeah.
The path.
Well, it probably made it even sweeter that the Giants or another team that signed him and waived him.
Oh, no, I told you that. You're thinking of Kurt Warner. We had him, Brett Favre, Ty Detmer, and Mark Brunell all in the same roster.
He wasn't even on a roster in 2020.
Yeah.
17, 18, 19, yeah. And then 21, 22 is how his stats go.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Way to stick with it, Coop.
Let me fit one of these overreactions in for you. We were just talking about the Miami Dolphins. We saw Tua on the screen here, that situation. Dolphins knocked off the Bills on Sunday. They got a quick turnaround. They play Thursday night football against the Bengals. Bengals are going to wear those icy white helmets. It's going to be cool.
Well, the whole uniform, sexy look.
Overreaction or not, the Dolphins are now the favorites to win the AFC East.
That's an overreaction for sure. The Bills are still the best team, not only in that division, but in the sport.
I mean, they ran like 50 more plays. Is that what it was? 40 more plays?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll see. But I would say the Dolphins are for real as a contender. You know, I don't know if they're better than the Bills.
Keep an eye on them Ravens. They got a quarterback that's not throwing interceptions. He's got 10 touchdowns. He's like the rushing numbers.
It's your MVP right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, that keep an eye on the Ravens. That would be to me that there's a that quarterback is playing super super right now.
Yeah, he is.
A lot of quality over there in that AFC.
There is, yeah.
All right, thank you, Woolchuck. The most exciting thing about what might come together for this Cowboys offense, let's look at the crystal ball and what might be developing with this team as the year goes on. It's coming up next on 105.3 The Fan right here in the G-Bag Nation.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.